That's small talk to me. Like, okay. Just the, you know, like, if you want to check in with me, don't check in with me on...
Hey, Cass, how's the weather in
the
Reno?
The weather and, yeah, and...
okay.
The little shit that I really, nobody honestly cares about, right? Like, if you want to check in with me, check in with me.
Yeah. Okay.
Let's have a real conversation for 5 or 10 minutes or 15 or 20 or... Yeah. I'll talk real stuff forever, man. I have no problem with that. What I don't want to do is waste 20 minutes on the phone talking about nothing.
Deep Thoughts by Cass Cooper.
Yeah. Something like that. 19 target south of 23,000. 21 target north group stack 36,000, 13,000. Bank, 40 scope, short skate, hot, right.
This is the Be One Change One podcast, where our mission is to help listeners define values, practice integrity, and inspire change.
Our vision is to mentor men and empower them to achieve more by taking responsibility for shaping their own lives.
He's Cass, an evolving man who has been shaped by adversity and continues to grow through his imperfections.
And he's Roscoe, an imperfect work in progress that tries to suck less every day.
Between us, we have over 40 years of Air Force fighter pilot experience with countless hours as trainers, instructors, and mentors.
Join us and learn to take responsibility for your own life as we dive into subjects from leadership to resilience to vulnerability.
Be the one who changes their course. Be decisive, driven, and purposeful. Set the example for others. Lead. We wish we'd had this show when we were younger men.
Be the one.
All right. Well, speaking of deep thoughts, I was listening to... By the way, these arms are kind of cool. I'm going to have to get used to doing this.
Yeah.
A little bit. I was watching this... I don't know, motivational video or inspirational video or something on YouTube. I tend to put these things on in the background when I'm getting ready to go somewhere or doing some other little project or whatever, and just kind of, you know, osmosis, let that shit sink in. But this one was Jim Rohn. You know, he's kind of a big name in the motivational speaking and get your life together kind of genre. So he throws this out this morning, and I actually stopped what I was doing and wrote it down, and he says, 10 years from now, you will arrive. The question is where? And I went, oh, dude, that's
pretty deep.
That's pretty deep, man. Like you could splinter that out into so many different, you know, different tributaries to go down and discuss and deep dive into, man, just out of that one short little statement.
Yeah. Well, there's so much truth to that, right? Because you're going somewhere.
Yeah.
And where that is, what that destination is all going to be based on choices that you make and the effort that you put in and the attitude that you have and the discipline and knowledge and skill and all those things that we talk about, right? Yeah.
And I just said this to Nikki yesterday. He's sitting on my couch, we're watching football, and just for 2 minutes, I went down I asked him a very pointed question about something, and for 2 minutes, we got a little bit serious. Then we went back to watching football, but I told him, I said, dude, not making a choice is still a choice.
That's very true.
And so, you know, as you start to develop these things and you start to think about your mindset, your own personal philosophies, all that, just realize that sitting there idle, that's still a choice.
Yeah. And you see that a lot, right? I see a lot of guys that, especially when faced with adversity, tend to wallow a little bit in that uncertainty. Instead of just gathering information, figuring out a course of action or several courses of action, determining which one's going to be the best, and then moving out. And
yeah, action, man.
Yeah,
I mean, you got to do something.
You
right?
have to do something at some point. Well, or you don't, and that's fine too. But that destination at the 10 years down the road place is going to be either much worse than where you're at now, or not much different.
Well, either way, you get what you earn.
Yeah.
I mean, if you're going to sit there and coast, I mean, granted, people are, I think, you know, when you're born, whatever your family circumstances, your environment, maybe your town. I mean, I grew up as a farmer. You grew up in the Northwest near Seattle. You know, those are two very different things.
Yeah, very different.
You know, so maybe your environment can mold you and shape you and get you to believe, you know, one philosophy versus another. I'll buy that to a degree, but I mean, we all go to school for the most part. We all go to school. We all learn basic reading, writing, arithmetic kind of things. So at some point that kind of levels out some. Obviously there's going to be affluent people who are, you know, maybe go to better schools, quote, air quotes, better schools or whatever. But at some point, man, you can make the decision. Well, I made a decision. I don't want to be a cotton farmer. I maybe don't know what I want to do, but I definitely don't want to be a cotton farmer. So I freaking got myself out of that town and I went and explored some things. I joined the Air Force and, you know, one thing leads to another. The snowball starts going downhill. It gets bigger and bigger and bigger. And before you know it, you're sitting here doing a podcast.
Yeah.
So making those choices, doing some action along the way, maybe, like you said, you don't know exactly what you want to do, but you got to do something.
Yeah. Well, and we've said this before on the podcast too. Sometimes figuring out what you don't want to do is just as important as knowing what you do want to do. And sometimes it's a process of elimination. I think it's very difficult at the age of 18, 19, even 20, you know, sometimes into your even your mid 20s to really know maybe what your niche is going to be or what you're really interested in. And, you know, I mean, my daughter right now, my youngest daughter right now is struggling with that in her first year at college. She's in a journalism program and she's not sure if that's really what she wants to do, but she doesn't really know what else she wants to do. Right.
That's interesting, man. I haven't heard this yet.
Yeah. And so, you know, one thing that Alicia and I have been encouraging her around is just to, you know, especially in that freshman year, cause you have different electives that you can take. There's kind of a broad brush that you can,
try,
you know, there's different things that you can attempt. We're like, you know, if you're interested in film, go take a course in film and see if that resonates, you know, because maybe that class will be the thing that points you in a different direction or down that direction. Yeah. Right. So there is, you've got to be willing to have a little bit of an exploratory process and be patient with it a little bit. You know, again, Alicia's a great example too. She didn't really fall into her, which knowing really what she wanted to do until she was in her mid 30s. I think we're fortunate to a certain extent. I was fortunate, at least I consider myself fortunate because I knew at a very early age what I wanted to do.
Yeah.
And that made it very easy for me to set specific goals and to move out and move towards those specific goals. Right away, like from a very young age, right?
Yeah.
And kind of try to get my mind around what it was going to entail, what I needed to work on, you know, what did I need to do in school? What did my grades need to be? Yeah. How to, what would that process look like? Right. So that path was kind of laid out for me very early, as I started to figure those pieces out. But I don't think most people are that fortunate.
Well, and what I was going to jump in on there was you benefited from a couple of things, right? You benefited largely due to a good work ethic. Great attitude going through, you know, even in your youth, great attitude. You kind of had your sights set and you had a mentor.
Yeah.
You had somebody that could at least illuminate the path for you a little bit. And maybe he wasn't going to guide you at every single turn, but he was going to keep you between the ditches, like putting the fucking gutter rails up at the bowling alley. You know, you're going to at least hit one pin. You know what I'm saying? Whereas I didn't have that.
Yeah.
And it was kind of like walking through the house with your eyes closed. You kind of know where the bumps are, but you don't really know how to get there kind of thing. And so I was just trying to figure things out.
Yeah.
And I got lucky. I mean, Katie's dad was a good influence on me maybe a few years after the fact, but he was able to at least illuminate a path a little bit for me to start heading that direction. And then it just kind of happened organically for me.
Yeah. Well, and some of it too was that exploration process for myself too, and having a little bit of courage over comfort and taking some risk. Cause dude, when I was 15 and I started flying, I mean, I was 15, you know? And so taking the, you know, like that was not necessarily at the beginning a very comfortable, I was excited about it. I wanted to do it, but it wasn't comfortable necessarily, you know. I was outside of my comfort zone at 15 years old going, hey, I'm gonna go fly with this dude I've never met before and see if I can fly an airplane or not, you know.
I would have totally done it.
And then working through high school while I was playing sports and doing academics, you know, and all that stuff so that I could pay for flying, help pay for flying lessons and just all those different pieces. You know, it took discipline, it took effort, it took a lot of work at times.
How many high school kids are going through, they're playing sports, they're going to school and they're doing well, they're working a part-time job, you know, they're doing all the things that you did, but they lack that one piece. Either it's a bullseye target on exactly what I want to do. Maybe they don't have that piece yet, or they don't have that mentor.
Yeah. Yet. The mentor is a big piece of it. I mean, yeah. Jim was a huge influence in my life and helped me through all of that process. But yeah, I mean, it's hard. And that's why it's important. Like, if you don't have a mentor, mm-hmm. you got to maybe go seek that out, right? Like we've talked about, yeah. go find somebody who's in the field that you're interested in. Go have a coffee with them or
yeah.
go to lunch or do something, you know, and just start to pick their brain. I think most men would be open to giving
yeah.
feedback and information and sharing their experiences and stuff 100%. With younger guys.
100%, man. And that's not age specific either, because I still do that. I still reach out to people. I mean, since we've started this podcast, I've reached out to probably 50 different people. Going, hey man, how do you do this? What's your setup like? What kind of mics do you guys use? What platforms do you guys publish on? You know, all these, I mean, you don't know the question if you don't, or you don't know the answer if you don't ask the question, right? And there's no such thing as a dumb question. And what I've found, and I've been legitimately impressed so far, is I have not yet met a person in this environment here, speaking specifically about the podcast and even the books and the other things that I've tried, I haven't met a person yet that's just been an asshole about it.
Yeah.
Everybody's just like, yeah, man, come on. I'll give you my list of all my stuff, you know, and I'll bring you on my show and I'll show you how I do it and all that kind of crap. So we've been talking for 10 minutes and we haven't even kind of announced what this episode's going to be.
We're bad about that. We're so horrible. We need a lead with something.
Maybe we get a sticky note and stick it right here on the little thing. It says, at least tell people what the hell we're going to talk about. So you guys don't know this, but behind the scenes, Cass and I don't know, months ago, we started brainstorming a list of things that we wanted to start talking about because we wanted to shape a discussion for a younger generation as they're transitioning into adulthood and they're starting maybe that 10 years in your 20s or so where you're starting to kind of get your shit together. And so we created a list of potential topics. This week, we're kind of calling an audible. We were talking on the phone the other night and I was like, you know what, man, I feel this right now where I want to talk about getting back to fundamentals. Back to the basics, focus on the basics, master the basics, that kind of stuff. So that's what we're going to discuss today.
Yeah, talk about the fundamentals because they're important. You got to have a good foundation. You got to have a solid baseline to really leapfrog from mm-hmm. if you're going to be successful.
Well, let me help you tie that knot just a little bit. So you were just talking about, you know, the young man and finding the mentor and asking those questions and looking up to someone and all that. Well, what if you're sitting where we're sitting right now? We can reach back and we can help those people. And I give you the great example here, what I think is a great example. This is a 100% positive win. You know, this guy just conquered Everest, in my opinion. About a year and a half ago, I had Caleb's best friend since fifth grade come and live with us. Not a great home life. Parents split. He was living on a couch with all of his shit in a box at the end of the couch, driving 30 minutes to get to school. Caleb comes to me and says, hey, can this kid move in with us? Bring him on. Well, then the challenge fell in my lap of mentoring this kid, right? So I reached into him and I talked to him. We started having these discussions about, and man, he was, in some respects, he was a wad of clay that I could mold and I could sculpt. In other respects, he was a fucking cinder block.
Yeah.
Because he had been forced up to this point. I mean, he's 17 years old, right? He'd been forced up to this point to do it all on his own. He's having to figure out life on his own. He'd never had that great positive male role model. And I'm not tooting my own horn here by any reason. I'm getting to a point.
Probably had some trust issues too. So,
100%, right? Man, 100%. He had some trust issues. Well, through lots and lots of closed door talks between me and this kid, I finally encouraged him and convinced him that joining the military is not a bad avenue for him for a lot of reasons, right? Steady paycheck, go see the world, new experience. He's never been out of Phoenix before.
Yeah.
Get some new experiences, whatnots. But more importantly, I wanted him to learn that it's okay to rely on other people. It's okay to be part of a tribe. It's okay to have people support you. And I tried and tried and tried to convince him that I was on his team. So he goes to basic training back in August, right? And we kind of joked about his level of preparedness.
Your frustration with that.
His level of preparation going into basic training was not stellar, but the kid totally rocked it, man. he's got a great attitude. He's a hard worker and he's intelligent. And I kept telling him over and over and over again, I was like, dude, your success in the military is going to come down to two things, attention to detail and effort. That's it, man. If you just do those two things well, you're going to succeed, bro. Because there's so many people that just don't do that.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, the cream truly rises to the top. Anyways, they make him the dorm chief when he's there. And he was the only dorm chief out of all the squadrons in his, or all the flights in his squadron. He was the only dorm chief that didn't get fired. So he did something right. He gets a, long or a pretty significant part of the graduation ceremony that he stood out. It was really cool. I cried like a baby because I was so freaking proud of this kid, man.
Yeah.
It was just epic and awesome. But the whole time I'm sitting here sitting in the stands, I'm thinking about the basic fundamental things that he just learned for 8 weeks in basic training, things that we had to go through and then we had to learn. And up until the day that we retired, I mean, at my retirement ceremony, standing on the podium up there or standing on the stage, I had to stand at attention. I had to salute the flag. You know, just these basic little fundamental things that if you don't do, how frustrated do you get when you go through the gate and the gate guard doesn't salute you?
Yeah.
Or a salute looks like shit. Like, come on, man. Details, dude.
Yeah. Yeah. Or just have a little pride in what you're doing too. Like, be sharp, look sharp. But yeah. Yeah. The foundations are important because, like I said, those are the building blocks. It's no different. I mean, we could use so many different analogies with this too, right?
So
like
examples.
Football, blocking and tackling, 100%. You know, right? I mean, even you were sharing with me, even at the NFL level, when you've gone to the red and white Cardinal practice and watched those guys go through their routines. I mean, the first 45 minutes of practice is nothing but fundamentals.
Footwork and hand placement and yeah.
You know, and that's even pros at the professional level still going back and revisiting those things to make sure that they get it right. Because you can't rest on those laurels sometimes. You know, because it's like anything else. When you build a habit, if you don't continue to revisit and refine, eventually that habit turns into something else, which can be bad, right? Could be something that's out of place or, you know, now you're moving this hand the wrong way or not getting the right placement, not getting your center of gravity set, whatever the case may be.
Well, there's that good, I think it's Tim Noelke quote that says, hard work beats talent when talent doesn't work hard. You know, look at the Tom Brady's of the world, man. He wasn't the most gifted athlete by any stretch. Sixth round pick, but he worked his butt off and he focused on fundamentals.
Yeah.
For a long, long time. I think that he played 20 something seasons.
Yeah.
In the NFL.
Something
like he was a dinosaur, man. He's my age, right? He's 40. He's 46, 47 years old. He played 100 seasons in the NFL, and he only had 1,000 yards rushing in his entire career. Like the dude just wasn't gifted in that regard. But where he made his money was in the film room and in the preparation room. Same as the receiver that you were telling us about the other day.
Yeah.
On the Seahawks.
Yeah. The separations in the preparation.
Yeah. Well, some of that preparation is down to the fundamental basic, like you said, blocking and tackling type skills. And it gets a little cliche and we kind of throw those words around, but what are some things that maybe, you know, not just sports related, but just in your day-to-day life, what are some basic fundamental things that we can focus on to just make us better people?
Well, I think you already mentioned the first one, which is attention to detail.
Yeah, that's great.
Because we all see it in people around us, you know, whether you're going to school or you're in the workplace, there's folks that show up to work and, you know, they're almost not even present. They're just kind of going through the mundane daily grind, and they're just doing kind of the bare minimum of what they want to do, but they're not really engaged.
Yeah.
You know, they're not. And the problem with that is, like, you're going to turn in shoddy work. You're going to do shoddy work if you're not paying attention to all those little details. And that attention to detail is what's going to help set you apart. I mean, think about the attention to detail that was required in what we did.
Yeah.
You know, and not everybody's type A. Not everybody's necessarily even aware of those things, I think, at times. But it's something that you can learn. It's something that you can do. And it's just a lot of it is just showing up and being present in what you're doing and actually thinking through the process that you're working on and then making sure that you're kind of dotting the I's and crossing all the T's.
Yeah.
So that your work is not coming back because you missed, you know, filling out something correctly or right. You gotta take the time to be efficient and pay attention to the small things because the small things can snowball into big things real quick.
Well, how many times have you had to redo something because you screwed it up the first time? When if you were just, there's that old adage out there, slow down and go fast.
Yep.
Kind of thing. If you just slow down and do things right the first time, maybe you don't waste that time on the back end having to do it again.
Yeah, well, and that's just it, right? If you don't pay attention to detail and you're not precise in how you're accomplishing things, then you're going to end up wasting effort and time because it's going to come back to you and you're going to have to reaccomplish things.
Yeah, for sure. And we're all guilty of this, man. I do it all the time.
Yeah.
You know, your little home project that you got going on here, replacing your baseboards. I did some of this flooring in one of our rental houses a while back. God, man, it probably took me over an hour to learn the technique. But once I learned the technique, I did the rest of the room in like 30 minutes.
Yeah, it doesn't take long once you get it down.
Yeah, once you get it down. But God darn, I've screwed some things up, man. I was throwing boards out of the room because I was breaking the little channels on them and stuff. And yeah, it sucked.
Yeah, same for me with the baseboards, like figuring out how to make the cuts and then doing the cuts correctly and some of the different techniques for how to make things look tight and clean. And then
do you have a miter saw?
Yeah.
Okay. I got one. So
yeah, I got a compound miter. Yeah, so I think attention to detail is a big one. What's one that you got?
Well, I think it's important to note that these basic things, and this kind of goes into the mindset thing, right? The basic things are simple, but not easy.
Yeah.
Sometimes.
Well, they require a certain amount of discipline because you have to apply the same process to a lot of different things over and over and over again. And it's easy, I think, to just relax in that sometimes, and that's when you'll start missing stuff.
Well, when we're talking about separating yourself from the rest of the group in a positive way, right? Well, I guess it could be in a negative way too, but when you're talking about creating that separation so that you stand out, oftentimes it comes down to the small, minute things because, I mean, look at where we were, right? We all had college degrees. We all had higher education. We had all been through the same schools. We had all done basically the same. I mean, the training is identical for every one of us.
Yeah.
You know, up to a point, but what separated us from each other? How did they rank number one through number 10 in the class? Oftentimes it came down to the small things, right?
Yeah.
And while they are basic and they are sometimes very simple, they're not necessarily easy. And if it was easy, everybody would do it. So I think when you just look at it from a mindset standpoint and you go into it with that kind of attitude, I think that just that alone can give you a little bit higher degree of focus on the next actions, or maybe I dwell on this for just a second and make sure that I get it right. You know, like you gave the example about being in Korea and all the practice and discipline that you put into your radar work.
Yeah.
Well, the guy that's not doing that, you're obviously going to rise above. Maybe he's putting his attention into some other avenue and you two can collaborate down the road. Maybe he's putting his into targeting PodMech and dropping GBU-12s and hitting his target very precisely. And maybe you two can come together and share ideas and share techniques and help each other out. You know, teamwork makes the dream work kind of mentality.
Yeah. Or maybe he's spending his spare time on social media and, you know, surfing Instagram and zoning out for hours at a time instead of taking that time to apply to making himself better at his craft.
Yeah. Well, go back to the opening quote that we talked about, right? 10 years from now, you're going to arrive. The question is where? One of the fallacies I think that social media gets us to bite off on right now, especially, is this idea that there's a get-rich-quick scheme or a 7-minute abs or, you know, some shit like that. When, dude, that just doesn't exist, man. Yeah. It comes down to how much effort you're going to put into it and what's your mindset towards it. And longevity over time, I think I said it before on another show, like success is going to come down to your level of commitment and your level of effort over time. That's it. There's not, I mean, you look at these Instagram influencers out there driving their Lambos. I bet you over half of those are rented cars just so they can make a video.
Yeah, well, and there's so much incongruency in what a lot of those people, especially in kind of the manosphere that people have followed, like the Andrew Tates of the world. So I haven't watched a lot of his stuff because I'll be honest with you, I just can't stomach the dude. But I did watch a little bit of an interview that he had with what's his name? Piers Morgan.
Mm. Yeah.
And it's hilarious because they're talking about like he had some like, I don't know, university thing that he started, like online thing, you know, like get rich quick scheme or something, you know, and his whole thing. And so he's in this interview and he's talking about like they're showing these clips from his Money University or whatever it was, Hustlers University. I don't remember. And it's like if you're working on a scheme and it's not getting you rich in 3 months, then it's a waste of your time. And then he's and then in the very next breath, he's talking about how he spent, like, you know, 7 years slowly building, like, his following, yeah. and how, you know, it kind of steamrolled overnight as he did certain things, I guess. But, you know, he had been doing stuff on social media platforms for a long time mm-hmm. to try to build a following. And it's like, okay, dude, so mm-hmm. if it was a 3 month scheme,
yeah.
did this just all happen for you in a 3 month time span, or were you working on this for several years before it all started to come together for you?
So well, what he's doing is he's talking about both sides of his mouth, and he's going, all right, I know I'm playing the long game here. This is his internal dialogue. I guarantee it. He's playing the long game to get more followers, to get more buy-in, to make more money off of his product, right? The way he's selling that is get rich quick.
Do these things
in 3 months. Here's a 90-day program to, you know, lose your weight or make your investment or whatever it is. And people buy that shit. He doesn't care. No. Like, deep down, he doesn't care what your outcome is. Nah, he's totally looking at it. And, you know, from a business perspective, maybe I can buy off on that because, man, I was just reading this thing about... it was in that Simon Sinek book that I was reading. It was talking about being disassociated from the numbers, right? And Stalin was kind of famous for saying something along these lines, and I'm going to fuck this up, so don't kill me. But it was, you kill one person, that's a tragedy. You kill a million people, that's a statistic, right? So like, you get separated from these numbers. At some point, look at these CEOs who don't have this direct interaction with their people. So they don't really know what the effect is, or they can't appreciate the effect of it. Whereas if you were to bring those people into the boardroom and have them sit down and actually talk with them, it probably elicits more of an emotional response because now you're face to face with it, right? It's much harder to tell somebody to fuck off to their face than it is through a keyboard.
Yeah, that's for sure.
Anyways, that was a bit of a tangent. Holy crap.
Yeah, sorry about that.
That's great. I was reading through these YouTube comments about cruising the comments is entertaining sometimes, especially on some of these motivational videos, because you get kind of both sides of the argument, right? So this guy, I actually jotted this one down because it stood out to me, but this guy says in the YouTube comment, anonymous, whatever, the problem that isn't talked about or isn't mentioned in these motivational videos is you can do all the right choices and then things outside your control can derail your goals. And I was like, okay, I'm on board with this. And then the next sentence, he goes into things like divorce, accidents, and health problems. And I was like, dude, all three of those things are in your control.
Yeah.
Holy shit.
Well, like, to a certain extent.
Okay. So divorce.
Yeah.
Your marriage. That's in your control.
Yeah.
I mean, to a degree, there is a second party that's involved in that. And if that person's not playing along, then maybe you can't control that. But you can absolutely control your actions.
You can.
You can have that communication. You can go to therapy.
But if you've let that stuff go for a long time, then you may be past the point where you have any influence over the other person's choices.
Yeah, but was that outside control or no, was that your...
I mean, that's the story, right?
And this goes back to ownership, man. This goes right back to ownership. You want to get down to fundamentals and the mastering the basics. This is part of it, right? Get down to the ownership level of it, and you have to own every aspect of your life.
Yeah.
To include your relationships, your health, your finances, all that stuff. Like, the reason that you're driving a shitty car and living in a shitty house isn't somebody else's problem.
Yeah,
or isn't somebody else's fault. It's yours. Stop playing the blame game. Don't be a victim. Change that shit.
Yeah, you're responsible for your actions and your choices. 100%, man. So, yeah, I think too. Like, I don't know how to make this transferable to just like an everyday thing. But when we talk about fundamentals, you know, one of the things that we always focus on in the fighter squadrons and in the fighter community was baseline cross checks. Right, you got to build baseline cross checks because there's a certain speed and frequency that you have to do certain things so that your brain can take information that it's being fed and make really smart decisions really fast based on that information. Mm-hmm. Some of that's practice over time, right? Getting a little more comfortable in the jet and kind of understanding different pieces and aspects of flow decisions and where people should be and things like that. But you got to build a baseline cross check. So how do we build that baseline cross check? Like, what's the baseline cross check that we think guys need to build if they're going to be good at the fundamentals?
Well, just as we're sitting here spitballing and kind of brainstorming, I could bring it back to the mind, body, soul balance pretty quickly. And if you keep those three things in your cross check, and how are you doing, you know, assess those things daily or weekly. How am I doing with my mind, body, soul balance? And maybe even throw emotions in there, your emotional intelligence, your emotional responses to stimuli, whatever that is. But I think if you can just keep those three things you know, a constant vigilant cross check on those three things, then I think that'll help you harmonize with the rest of the world.
Yeah, to a degree. I think that's true, but I'd like to get a little more granular and a little more specific if we could.
Yeah, go for it.
And so I think the first thing that you really need to do is you need to organize yourself, man. You need to get some discipline and figure out how to organize yourself in your day so that you can be efficient and effective at what you're doing.
Valid.
And that comes with, you know, if you're rolling out of bed in the morning and just throwing on a pair of pants and going out the door and you're not taking the time to actually take a shower or run a comb through your hair or shave your face or whatever, like you're probably not starting off with the best foot forward. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So how do we organize ourselves in order to show up the way that we really want to show up, to project ourselves in a manner that we want to do things?
Yeah. Yeah. Knowing your audience and knowing your role, that goes into that too.
And that can be different. That can be different based on what you're doing. Right. But how do you show up and look prepared?
Mm-hmm.
You know, how do you show up and look like you're ready to go?
Well, like, I mean, we're sitting here unshaven and in gym clothes, but we're talking into a microphone and nobody sees us.
Right.
Whereas, you know, tomorrow morning when we go to work, we'll probably be shaven, our pants will be pressed. Yeah. And, you know,
sure. But even though we're here unshaven in gym clothes, there was a fair amount of preparation that went into getting ready for this podcast.
Sure, but I mean, not necessarily physical appearance.
No.
Yeah.
But you need to get yourself organized. So, and a lot of that for me, at least, one thing that helped me when I was a younger man be effective and be efficient, be the youngest ever full-time employee in the Washington State House of Representatives, mm-hmm. things like that.
Hashtag humble brag.
Yeah. Well, but dude, it was timeline management, right?
Yeah.
How do you manage your, you get a certain number of hours in every day. Mm-hmm. How are you going to break those up? And you've talked about this, breaking those things up into chunks.
Yeah.
You know, so that you can be as efficient and as effective as possible.
Yeah, each chunk gets a different focus area or something like that. Yeah.
And that's attention to detail too. And that's not attention to detail on the forms I'm filling out at work or, you know, maybe what I'm building at work or things like that. That's attention to detail to what you're going to do with your day today.
Yeah.
And then trying to stick to those timelines much as possible.
Go back to the opening quote. 10 years from now, you're going to arrive. Question is where? If you're the kind of guy that doesn't organize his day and doesn't have clearly driven, motivated goals and things that you want to accomplish, like people will call it your power list or your target list or your to-do list or whatever it is. But if you don't organize your day so that you can get that shit done, 10 years from now, you're going to look back and go, holy crap, man, I just wasted a lot of time.
Yeah. And it's worthwhile, I think too, like on a Sunday, man, sit down and go, okay, what's my goal for tomorrow? What's my goal for this week?
What are
the things that I'm going to try to accomplish that I need to check off the list? Mm-hmm. You know, if you're not a list maker, I would encourage you right now, start making a list of the things that need to be done with a little checkbox next to them and then go through and I'm such a dork. That's what I used to do. I used to write down what I had to do and then I'd have a little checkbox next to them on the left side, and on the right side, I would start to prioritize them. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 to figure out.
I still do. I got a list right here. Yeah. I got a notebook full of that shit.
Right.
And I sit here and I make little, today I need to knock out these three things. And
prioritize.
Yeah.
And then you make your best guess at, okay, priority one is going to take me 2 hours. So I'm going to block off 8 to 10 to work on that and get it done. Maybe it goes to 11. Well, that's okay, right? You flex your day as you need to, and you kind of reorganize and reattack things. But, you know, if you give yourself and be realistic about it, you give yourself 2 hours to get project one done, and it, you know, the 1.5 hour mark, you're done with it. Well, now you can move on to two. And then all of a sudden you start to buy time back in your day. And that gives you time to, well, I'm going to take 30 minutes and take a breather you know, get through things faster. And you start to open up time for yourself and you can be more efficient and effective that way.
Yeah, that's good. That is a fundamental, and this kind of ties back into one of the latest episodes that we did about the 10 things that don't require any talent. That kind of goes back into that about just on a fundamental level, man, your energy level and your organization and your attention to detail daily or weekly, those are paramount in being able to separate you from the rest of the people.
And if you don't have structure in your life, you got to build it. And I think that's one reason why, like with the story you were talking about at the beginning, the military can be so good for some young men is because if you don't have structure in your life, the one thing the military gives you is structure.
Definitely give you that.
It builds you structure and it builds discipline.
Yeah.
And so you've got to, if you don't have that in your life, you've got to build structure. And then have the discipline to kind of affect how you work through all of those things.
Yeah.
Because that's the only way you're really going to get your arms around everything that needs to be done and then start to really find efficiencies in how to do it effectively and that attention and add the attention to detail piece to it and start to move through things. And you have to be specific with it too. So go back to, here's a story from weapons school. So at the end of weapons school is a 6-month program. They don't do it anymore, but at the end of weapons school, they used to bring all the weapons school divisions back to Nellis Air Force Base in Las Vegas. And we would do what was called ME for 2 weeks, which was mission execution. And it was these huge vols that we would do. And they were all broken up into different things. Air-to-air, air-to-ground, all kinds of different stuff. Well, I get tagged as the mission commander for the deed vol for ME. So the deed vol...
That's destruction of enemy air defenses. Yeah,
destruction. So it's taking down surface-to-air missile sites. Yeah. So I get tagged for the deed vol. About 60 aircraft in the vol. We're supposed to take down a bunch of different surface air missile sites. The weapons school decided, because they were trying to focus on, I don't know, joint whatever, that the mission planning director for the deed vol was going to be a guy from Barnyard. So a command and control, a C2 guy, the guy that sits on the back of the AWACS, a mission director.
Yeah.
And helps quarterback the fight. I'm not even sure he knew how to spell deed. Like he had no idea. He had absolutely no idea how to attack this.
Oh no, I have a similar story. Right?
You know, and I'm a block 50 guy by background in trade, which block 50 F-16s typically do seed suppression of enemy air defenses and deed work. So we start the mission planning process. We have 12 hours. This is a huge, and dude, I'm not talking like a 45-minute vol. It was a 4-hour deed vol. And it's tankers and it's C2, and we got like 3 AWACS, and how are we going to, all the coordination lanes, how are we going to divvy it? This guy has no clue what he's doing. We have 12 hours to plan this thing. So I come up to him after he gives his initial brief, and I can see the fear in his eyes. I walk up over to him, and I look at him, and I go, dude, you have 1 hour to show me that you know what the fuck you're doing, and I'm taking this over from you. And then I walked away. And 45 minutes later, I took it over from him. Because I'm the guy that had to execute it.
Yeah.
And I'm not going to go up there with some shitty fucking game plan that nobody understands and is going to be completely tactically ineffective, because the weapons school decided that it would be a good idea to have Chuckle Nuts plan a huge vol that he has no idea what he's doing. So, but that was all about timeline. My point in that story is that was all about timeline management. I knew we had a finite amount of time to get a really good process and tactical game plan together. And I knew the guy that was in charge of it was not going to get us anywhere fast. Right. And so that's how you can apply that to your life though, right? Is what are the big ticket items that I need to get? What's the thing that's pressing? What are the things that need to be done now? And then focus on those things, get those things out of the way, and then start to move to the smaller pieces and chunks.
So there's a great, I think there's a really good lesson in there for just a regular civilian who's, you know, working a construction crew or whatever he's doing. In our world that we came from, in the Air Force, in the military, in the world, really, the fighter pilot is kind of the tip of the spear, right? There's these tier one teams that are out there, and they're the tip of the spear, and everybody else kind of works down towards the hilt of the sword. You know what I'm saying? So that guy, not the tip of the spear, right? Well, what are the things that separate those two types of individuals? It's everything that we're talking about here. It's the detailed, the mission-oriented detail, I will not fail, I'm going to freaking win kind of attitude that goes into this stuff. So if you're the dude on the construction team, how do we translate these lessons that we learned, or just kind of organically through time, how do we translate them down to the dude that's standing out on the street corner holding the slow stop sign, right? Details. Fundamentals, basics, do the ordinary things extraordinarily well, and you will rise up and you will be at the top of your team eventually. The people at the top of the team get promoted. The people who get promoted make more money, and then you can invest that money, and you see the snowball start to build.
Yeah. Well, and for me too, it's also just a little bit of personal pride. Like I wasn't willing in that situation. I could have sat back and gone, well, fuck, they put him in charge. Let him fuck it away. It's not my ass that's on the line for this, right?
Yeah, but that's not what we do.
But yeah, but guess what? And guess who has to execute the game plan?
Yeah.
It's me. And I could have tried to make a bunch of smart audibles, but when you're dealing with something at that size and scope, it's tough to make a lot of different smart audibles.
I don't know.
You know what I mean?
I was kind of on the other side of that coin.
And he wasn't, and the other thing that I'll mention too in all of this is he wasn't butthurt at all at the fact that I was like, dude, I'm taking this over from you. And I didn't do it in a way where it was like, go sit down, I got this, right? Mm-hmm. It was me up there with him, helping him through the mission planning process and me not really doing anything with my foreship or kind of the deed stuff and basically pushing those responsibilities to my number three and going, hey, dude, you're going to have to do all this for me because I got to be up here making sure that we stay on timeline and that he gets all these things figured out and we get through the contingencies correctly and we get the lane split up and the assets split up and blah, 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 right? And so, you know, and he was grateful.
Yeah, no, a very similar story from Red Flag. I was supposed to be the deputy mission commander, and I was the DT vol commander, the dynamic targeting commander for this particular vol that we were doing, and also the deputy mission commander. The mission commander was a J-STARS dude, like a young J-STARS guy, right? So day before the planning cycle, we get the ATO, me and the
air ATO's air tasking order.
Yeah, so it's basically the whatever the frag is for the mission. Here's your assets. Here's your tactical problem you have to solve. Yeah. And so me and him sat down over a table and a map, and we start breaking things out and everything. And I'm like, all right, man. So what's your like just going in? If you just had to throw spaghetti on the wall, what's your going in game plan? And he looked at me like I had four heads. Like, all right, so this is gonna be a long day for Roscoe, right? All right, so he flops around like a fish out of water for most of the planning cycle. We're our little tactical advisor or whatever in the back of the room is kind of keeping the train on the tracks, but he's letting this dude fail wholesale. And I'm kind of like you were talking about, man, I was focused a lot on my lane for this because not only was I the deputy mission commander, I had this whole other piece that I had to plan up with all these other assets and everything. So I put a lot of eggs into that basket and kind of let the mission commander do his thing up there. It was so bad. Our plan was so bad that when we briefed it to the colonels and generals at the end, they're like, no, you got an hour to fix this.
Yeah.
And so that's when, you know, we all got a bunch of smart people around a table and we fixed it up. So comes to execution day and his J-STARS ground aborts. Typically, there's only one out there. So if it's a ground abort, you know, guess what? No J-STARS today.
Yeah.
So I'm taxiing out, and I got the words from the KAOC that the J-STARS was a ground abort, and the mission commander was going to go be – he was going to try to be the mission commander from the KAOC.
Oh,
and I was like,
God.
Nope.
Yeah.
Sorry, dude. You're out. I'm in.
Yeah.
And so we took off, and I was the mission commander airborne. And, I mean, the vol didn't go well because we had
a bad plan.
We executed a very bad plan very poorly. Yeah. And I mean, it was sort of comical. It was so bad. It was almost comical, but the head shed who let us actually go out and do this, they told us afterwards, they're like, yeah, we knew it was a bad plan. We knew that you guys were going to, we had a lot of weather and a lot of fallout and whatnot. They said, we knew that this was probably going to happen, but that's where we get the best learning.
Yeah,
so let's spend time in the debrief and let's get the learning out of this. It wasn't a total waste of jet fuel and manpower. So yeah, very, very similar stories. And it came down to details, man.
Yeah.
It just came down to the details, the very fundamental basic stuff. Blocking and tackling. What assets do we have and how do we solve the problem? Let's break it down to the nuts and bolts of it.
Yeah.
Put people in play, like you always say, put people in play so that they can win and they can succeed.
Yeah. And so going back to what kind of baseline cross-check are we talking about, right? I think the first thing is attention to detail. The second thing is getting organizing yourself, building some structure, and then having some discipline to follow it. And we do that through figuring out a good timeline and some timeline management, right? Building a list, prioritizing that list, setting aside time throughout the day for when we're going to attack certain things. The other thing I would say is, and this is kind of an aside, I guess, but is don't stress the things you can't control. So what do I mean by that? Dude, you're always going to have people in whatever organization you're in that are above you. They're going to make really stupid fucking decisions. They're going to change something. They're going to do something, you know, and you see it all the time. I see it at work all the time. Guys sitting over in the left seat, just bitching about this, that, or the other that the company's doing or the FAA is doing or whatever, completely outside of their control. And they're wasting hours of energy just venting on something that they have absolutely no fucking control
over. It's one thing to sit around and sport bitch.
Sport, you know, and bitching is a sport for pilots. Let's just be honest. But you know what I'm getting at. And so what I would encourage guys to do, and what I've always told guys to do in situations like that, I can remember one time in the military, was in a squadron where the leadership was not that great. In those situations, what do you control? Well, we've talked about this a lot, right? You control your own actions. You control your own positive mental
attitude
and your own outlook. So when you're in situations like that, instead of bitching and complaining about everything and getting a shitty attitude about it, figure out how to make it as good as you can for the dudes that you're around. How do you make it better for your team? How can you work within whatever the constraint is and still achieve efficiency and success? That's going to set you apart, right? How do you make it? We used to talk about in this particular squadron, I was a younger captain. We had bottom three approval, you know, because in the Air Force, we have top three. We called it bottom three approval. And we started going around figuring out, okay, well, this is the constraints that we're under. So how the fuck do we do it? And how do we make it good and still make it fun and still get it where guys can grow and learn and get what they need out of every sortie? And so that's one, right? It's all about how you approach those problems.
Yeah. Well, I this is something that I've been throwing out regularly. I've been saying this for years now, is attitude, attention, and effort. Do those three things well, bring them at a high level, and I think you're going to be just fine, man.
Yeah.
And it really, you know, if you just focus on those three things and the details that are involved in those, then, I mean, it almost kind of doesn't matter what everybody else is doing. It doesn't matter what the management is doing. If you just go in with a good attitude, pay attention to what's going on around you, and give a lot of effort to things, then those are all three things that don't take any talent, and you're 100% in control of them.
Yeah, you're going to reap what you sow. Not to use a platitude, but you are. Yeah. You're going to reap what you sow. And so if you go in with a bad attitude all the time and, you know, dragging your feet and bitching and complaining, well, guess what, dude? That's what you're going to reap. You know?
Well, yeah, man. And it's super easy to fall into that too. I mean, we're all guilty of it, man. It's, you know, people sitting around sport bitching about it's too hot in the building, or, you know, the wind's blowing too much outside and we're grounded for the day, or you know, whatever it is. It's easy to get caught up into that trap and, I don't know, waste time, spend time bitching about things. You could be doing something productive with your time. You could be in the vault reading. Oh, we got grounded for the day. Let's all go have a 1 hour study session.
Yeah.
You know, but it's super easy to fall in that. Fuck it. Let's just go to the bar, eat some corn, drink some whiskey, and then go home.
Yeah.
You know, and I think we're all guilty of that from time to time. I don't want to sound like I'm coming off as you know, we're not preaching and we're not proselytizing this stuff to you guys. Like, we've screwed this up too. I fall into this trap daily, weekly. I'll sit around and bitch about something or someone when I could be doing something other with my time.
Yeah. Well, and sometimes you need to go to the bar and have a Jack and Coke and some corn.
Absolutely. Right?
Sometimes you need that break.
It's healthy.
And you need that vent. And so that's healthy too. You just got to be smart sometimes with who you do that with.
Well, last week or whenever it was that we sat, it's been a minute since we sat across the table from each other. But before we hit record, you and I both sat here just venting for 10 or 15 minutes each, you know, about life events and what's going on and in the world and whatnot. And sometimes it is healthy to get that out. And you know, that's another thing that maybe we can throw out there and tie it into this discussion is your tribe that you choose and your people, your confidants, your close circle that you have around you. Put a little bit of energy into that and choose those guys wisely. I mean, that's fundamental. That's basic level stuff that you can master and that you can do well in. And those are the people that you lean on in hard times. And when you need to get something off your chest, I can pick up the phone call or the phone and call Cass and be like, dude, I need 5 minutes. Just listen for 5 minutes, man. And let me get this out of my system.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, and just to piggyback on what you were saying, because I think it's a good segue, is the last thing is kind of what we were already hitting on, but I don't think we've been real specific about, and that's what I think you just need to build a little bit of awareness in whatever situation you're into. And what I mean by that is, like, be present in whatever environment or situation you're in. So pay attention to the little things. Pay attention to the people around you. Pay attention to what's going on. You know, look for those efficiencies where you can find them. Look for opportunity, because if you show up to work and you're just kind of going through the motions, dude, you're not going to be aware of the potential for opportunities that are around you. You're not going to be aware of ways to really make things better.
Yeah.
You know, when you're just, if you're just going to go in and grind and you're not really going to think through things and ask questions or just be present in that sense. And that's true in that circle of friends too. If you're just kind of running around with the same group mm-hmm. that you've had for a long time, you know, be aware and have some presence in that stuff, because it can make a huge difference.
Yeah. On the other side of that same coin, I think it's important to have maybe a hobby or an outlet.
You gotta have an outlet
that doesn't require a tremendous amount of focus and
effort.
You know, for me, sometimes it's just as simple as I've got books in my Audible account that I need to pay attention to and I need to hang on it. And I might take out my phone and take notes. I've got other books that, dude, I might not remember what he just said for the last 30 minutes.
Yeah.
It's a story. You know, I'm listening to one right now it's a 41-hour book on Audible. 41 hours. This thing it's like the Bible, man. It's huge, right? It's called Once an Eagle by Anton Meyer. It's really good, and it's a great story of character versus, you know, career-driven people and leadership and all that stuff. It's a great book, but it's an entertaining story, and I can completely zone out for like 20, 30 minutes when I go on my walk. So when we're talking about having this hyper-focus and this vigilance and this situational awareness about your day-to-day actions, that's not to say that it doesn't, it's healthy sometimes maybe to, man, just let that shit go and just daydream for a little while.
Yeah.
You know, stare out the window and watch the leaves.
Yep. Absolutely. Then the last thing I would say along kind of the fundamentals is just try to be professional. And I know that that's a platitude too, but what do I mean by that? And I'll give a couple of anecdotal examples. So I remember when I was working at Consolidated Freightways down in Seattle as a younger man, loading trucks at night. Before we would start the shift, the managers would come out and they'd have all of us circle around and they'd kind of go through, you know, 5-10 minutes of what was important, this, that, and the other kind of rules and responsibilities, who was working what zones, things like that. And there was one guy that we had on the night shift who he's always talking in the background. He's always cracking jokes. He would walk up and pants people in the middle of, you know, the managers, which it's funny, right? It's funny. But what do you think the managers thought of that cat?
He probably wasn't at the top of the list for promotion.
What's his upward mobility?
Yeah.
You know, he's still loading trucks.
He's the class clown.
Yeah. You know, and so just those are things to think about.
Yeah.
Even in the fighter squadron, we had one guy who, I think he might be in 06 and still in now, a squadron I was in. Went to weapons school even. I mean, he was a great pilot. Very good hands, very smart tactically. But he's a joker, you know. And guys would get up from their desks, you know, and they'd leave their email open. And he'd sit down and he'd send the email out to the squadron, this, that, and the other. And everybody thought it was funny. And, you know, and he was younger in rank then too, so he could get away with some of that stuff. You know, people kind of just shrugged that stuff off. But at the same time, sometimes it wasn't funny, you know, and sometimes it was a little bullying because of who he would pick on in particular. It never sat well with me, I'll tell you that. And so just be aware of that. Like there's appropriate times to smoke and joke.
Yeah.
And there aren't.
There's definitely skill in knowing when to turn it on and turn it off. And I'm kind of having this balanced discussion with Caleb up at ROTC because he's about 2 years ago, about a year and a half ago or so, Caleb and I were having a discussion and I kept telling him, I'm like, dude, stop trying to be somebody you're not. Like, stop trying to impress people and stop trying to fall into this trap of trying to act a certain way or be a certain person because you think that that's what's needed for your approval. Just be you, right? Well, the problem is with Caleb is Caleb is, he goes hard at everything. So if he's going hard at PT,
no vector,
he's going hard. If he's going hard at academics, he's going hard. I mean, he's doing very well in all categories. But when he goes hard on pranks, he goes hard.
Yeah.
Right. So I'm having to have this discussion about, well, you know, and it's sometimes it's fine. Yeah, sometimes it's fun.
It goes too far.
But you got to know when to turn it on and turn it off. You know, sometimes you might want to taper that a little bit. And he's fell into the trap recently of maybe sending some text messages that probably shouldn't have been sent, or at least could have been worded a different way, or little things like that. And he was 100% like the message behind it was humor and fun, when the perception on the other end was maybe not taken like that.
And so some of that's that awareness that we're talking about.
It is. And it's a learned skill over time. I mean, Caleb's 19 years old. He'll be 19 next week. And it's something that you kind of have to learn. And how do you get to be old and wise? It's by being young and stupid.
Yeah, that's true.
You know, sometimes sometimes you have to be, you know, young and stupid and make these mistakes so that you learn those lessons the hard way.
Yeah. But learn from it. That's the other key part 100%. Of it too, right? If you make those mistakes, learn from it, make your adjustments. And I'm not saying don't have fun at work, because there's obviously ample opportunity and times to have fun at work, or, you know, depending on what you're doing, play little pranks here or there, things like that, that keep things light and fun.
Yeah.
But you have to be smart about it too, right? So just have a little bit of awareness. Yeah. That kind of goes back to that building awareness piece. Understand your audience. You know, what's reasonable and what's not.
Yeah.
And try to operate within those boundaries.
Know your environment too. Like in the environment that I work in, if I were to go around pantsing people, it probably wouldn't be looked on as funny. However, if you're on a construction crew out in the middle of the desert somewhere, maybe that's humorous. You know, you and your team are the only ones around and whatnot. So, you know, kind of know your environment. But as we start to get kind of close to closing up this one, I was listening to this Jim Rohn motivational speech, and it was titled Five Basics to Master. And I just wanted to list these out and have a quick discussion on them real quick. His five basics to master, by the way, Jim Rohn is like, he's one of the top dudes in the motivational / self-improvement genre. And if you haven't heard of him, Jim Rohn, look him up on YouTube. You can hear a lot of really good stuff from him. But his five basics to master are philosophy, attitude, activity, results, and lifestyle. Breaking that down a little bit further, his philosophy, where he says he lists philosophy as number one, and that was just what you know and what you believe. And that comes from knowledge and experience, really. So, you know, shaping your beliefs, being curious about things.
Defining your personal values.
Defining your values, reading, learning. You know, never stop that thirst for knowledge, right? And one of the things he was talking about that I kind of picked up on was, society, I think it's easy to fall into this trap, right? Kids, we grow them up and they go through school and they're required to do all these things in school and perform at a level so that they can separate themselves and get into colleges or get a good job or whatever. And we demand a lot, I think, from these 10th, 11th, and 12th graders. But as soon as they get their diploma, what do we demand of them then? Like, how many books are you required to read every year when you're 21 years old?
Yeah.
None. Zero. Yeah. Like, we don't put those same requirements on them. So it comes down to the individual effort, I think, sometimes to demand those things of yourself, right? And this is just basic fundamental stuff, is never stop that thirst for knowledge. At least, again, guilty of this myself. Long gaps in my life where maybe I wasn't that curious. Maybe I was just coasting. Maybe I was, I don't know, wasn't driven enough to pick up a book and read it, unless it was forced on me through the military or something like that.
Yeah. Well, and I think some of that too is there may be times in life where you don't have maybe that available time, depending on what you're going through or just circumstances in life, you know, young kids, things like that, where maybe there's just a big time crunch, you're tired a lot, things of that nature. But it doesn't necessarily have to be read a book. It can just be, dude, what are you focusing on right now to make yourself better? Like, well, how are you trying to move ahead? What's something, pick one thing and work on that.
Yeah. Join a club, go to church, you know, join a men's group, hang out with people and have discussions that are not, you know, video game centric or whatever. And then again, like society today, the way things have changed since when you and I were kids, it's so easy for these kids to lock themselves up in their rooms and go to that other place in their games or whatever, when there is an art and a skill to having a face-to-face conversation.
Yeah.
And if you don't get out there and do that, man, you're missing out. Not only from, you know, just that personal interaction piece, being able to look somebody in the eyes and talk to them, but you're missing out on learning what that other person's opinions are. maybe you go, oh, you know, I haven't thought about it like that.
Yeah.
The second one was attitude. And I think we've hit that a few times.
Talked about that a lot.
Man, your attitude is and will and can separate you from everyone. You go into it with a shitty attitude, you're probably not going to be the guy on the top of the promotion list. Whereas you go into work with a smile on your face and a good attitude every day. Again, go back to my big three: attitude, attention, and effort. Activity, that's what you do every day. So your level of effort, the things that you do, your to-do list, your accomplishments, and that all, both of those two, number two and number three, they kind of tie back into effort. You know, how much effort are you putting into this, into these things? The results piece of it, I circled that one and I drew a line underneath it because I wanted to, for me personally, focusing on results may not be the best way to frame that. Focus on the process and the things that you have to do to get the results that you want. But then I see his point when he lists results on there, because I think maybe you have to list out that result first. Maybe that comes in the form of a goal or, you know, some kind of milestone that you're trying to reach. So I could see both sides of that. I'd say don't focus on the goal, because that, like going to college, right? If you're going to college, if you're getting into college, the goal is to get the diploma at the end. But if you're focusing on that, you're missing the homework assignment for this week. So that's why I kind of circled that one and focus on the process, the study habits, the do your homework, the go to the library on Sunday afternoons, those kinds of things. And that will help you reach your end result that you're after.
Yeah. If you're trying to figure out how to do better, you'll get the results, I think, that you're looking for.
Yeah.
And then if you focus on the things that you need to fix or the things that you need to be maybe a little more focused on for mm-hmm. yourself to kind of improve your own pieces in that awareness, effort, efficiencies, things like that, then you'll that result will follow.
Well, he's talking about these things at a basic lifestyle level, you know, and if your goal is to get across the lake and you start canoeing across the lake, sometimes you have to kill the closest alligator to the boat in order to still get across the lake, you know? So don't lose sight of the end goal. Don't lose sight of that result that you want, but you have to maybe focus, you know, front sight focus sometimes to.
Yeah. Well, I think sometimes too, it's not going to be given to you. It's so, like, a perfect example is with what I do now. When I went through training, you know, at the level that I'm flying at now, they expect guys to have a baseline cross check. So they don't really teach a baseline cross check. Well, the airplane's different than any airplane that I've flown before. And it doesn't lay out like we did in the military sometimes of, okay, you need to go from here to here to here to here to here. This is your cross check. This is how you build it. These are the things that we want you to focus on. Right.
Yeah.
So I had to figure out how to do that stuff myself and what made sense and what was the most efficient flow and create some things that aren't in the manual or in anything that I was taught at training, but that are really good, efficient flows for me to make sure that everything's being captured and I'm not missing anything when we're especially in critical phases of flight.
Yeah.
And so I didn't have to do that. I would probably wager that 80 to 90% of the dudes that are in my position don't do that.
Hmm.
But
that's not very reassuring.
That's just my own approach to things. That's the level. That's how I want to show up. That's the efficiency that I want to have. That's the thing that drives me.
Well, there's some good discussion to be had around that. Trent Richardson played at University of Alabama, like phenomenal running back, right? Won some national championships, was in the Heisman discussion for a long time. Very, very talented, hardworking, just, I mean, built. He had all the ingredients and the pedigree to go a long ways as a professional running back. So he gets out of college, he got drafted number 3 in the draft, and he went to the Colts. Gets up to the Colts. He lasted 2 seasons in the NFL, and he was bounced. The reason, and he ended up owning this later on, wrote a piece or said a piece, whatever, but he ends up owning it, and he says, yeah, the problem was when I was in college, I had that structure. The trainers made us go in and lift weights and made us go out to practice and made us do these extra workouts so that we were at the top of our game so that we could win the national championship. The problem is when you're classified now as a professional, that all falls on you. Just like the story that you were just saying, right? Nobody's going to sit you down when you're this level. Nobody's going to sit you down and say, now, Cass, you need to go and do this, this, and this. The assumption is by this time, you're going to do that stuff. He didn't do it. Yeah. He chose to not do it, right? Eddie Lacy was another great one, got drafted into the Green Bay Packers and ended up eating a lot of Burger King, gained a lot of weight, got bounced from the NFL.
Yep.
You know, so these, you know, these fundamental things that we're talking about, they don't go away, you know, with time and experience and professionalism. It doesn't go away. If anything, the responsibility gets greater and that responsibility falls squarely on you.
Yeah. Well, that's why if you build structure for yourself, then when that 100%. Structure falls away, you're not lost.
100%.
And you see that a lot with veterans when they leave the military and all of a sudden they're lost because for 20 years they knew when to show up and what to wear and what their day was going to look like. And now all of a sudden none of that's there anymore and they don't know what the fuck to do with themselves.
Yeah. Well, that goes into a great discussion about finding your why and what really drives you. And maybe we can deep dive into that in a later episode, but I mean, that kind of goes back into your values. And like I talk about the big O knot, man, all this stuff ties together. So
what's number five?
Number five was your lifestyle, how you choose to live. You know, if you're a minimum wage earner and you spend all your money on DoorDash, you probably don't have a healthy savings account. And these all come down to your choices. Like this is all 100% in your control, right? You can choose to go out on Friday nights or you can choose to stay in on Friday nights. Katie and I just did it last night. We had a choice. We could have gone out with some friends or we could have stayed in and watched a movie and we chose to stay in. And I'm not saying one is better than the other, but the results are going to be one way or another. And when you look back on it, your life, where you sit, regardless of your age, regardless of your profession, regardless of where you're at in your life timeline, you are 100% a product of the choices that you've made. And you can look all the way back into your childhood and look at these different pivot points in your life and go, man, maybe I could have chose something different there. Maybe I could have gone a different way. Maybe I could have done something a little bit different here or there.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's the discipline piece. Cause here's the bottom line, you guys, is making those choices. You know, if finances are tight, it's easy and fun sometimes and easier to go out and eat. Right? Because you don't have to make anything at home. You don't have to come home from long days of work and cook something up and then deal with the dishes and all that stuff. But if it's putting you behind financially, or if you don't have the money and you're going out and putting it on a credit card because you're just feeling lazy and don't want to deal with whatever else it is, I mean, it's going to have ramifications for you down the road. And that discipline, like, it's not always fun is my point. You know, like, there's a lot of things that are just hard and that you have to be disciplined around. But if you are disciplined around that, then over time that discipline, you'll see the fruits of it, right? You'll start to see the what's the word I'm looking for? I don't know, the good that comes out of it.
Yeah, you'll see the dividends eventually.
Thank you. The dividends. Yeah. That's the one I was looking for.
We could go down so many tangents on this, but what you were just talking about and kind of wrapping everything up, Before you get into this fundamentals discussion, separate from that. I totally take that back. But I'm going to say, I think it's very important to have a goal to work for, to have something. If you have a goal to work for, if you have that thing out there, that carrot to chase, that end result that you're looking for, I think it's easy to walk backwards. I think it's easy to walk backwards and put these fundamental basic things into place so that you can get to your goal. So maybe if you're a young guy or hell, even an old guy, but if you're having struggles in any of this stuff, maybe set yourself a small goal out there and that'll help you frame your mindset and frame your discipline and your organization and all these things that we've been talking about. It could be something as simple as I want to read 2 books this month. And then you figure out, you walk backwards from there and you figure out, okay, what are the things that I have to do? Well, I need to notch out a couple hours of my day or my week here and there so that I can read. And I think that might help steer you. Start with something small and then maybe work on something more audacious.
Yeah. And it could be something as easy as, you know, working on that timeline management that we talked about, or setting priorities and tasks. Or it could be, hey, in the next 3 months, I'm going to put $1,000 into savings.
Yeah, it's a great
something
one.
As simple as that, right? But it gives you that that goal to strive to. And that's really important what you said, Roscoe, because those are the things in those moments that'll go, well, here's my goal. What's the choice I'm going to make?
Yeah.
And it's going to help steer you in the right direction.
I think you guys are starting to see how these things tie together. And we've done, what, 11, 12, 13 episodes or so now. And we seem to be talking about the same things over and over and over again. And there's a reason for that.
Yeah, there's a lot of overlap.
They're important, but B, they're... I mean, this is the foundation to how you win. If you want to win at life, you got to do the ordinary things extraordinarily well.
Yep.
And it comes down to this discussion that we had, is break it down to the basics and execute those basic things well.
I agree.
Yeah. What else you got, man? Parting shots?
Be the one.
Be the change. Thanks for flying with the Be One Change One podcast. If you got something out of this show, then be the one and share it in your circles of influence.
You can be our wingman through our website at www.b1changeone.com. That's B and the number one, change and the number one.com.
We invite you to be the one and join our fighter squadron on social media at B1 Change One on Facebook, YouTube, and Twitter. You can follow us at Paul Roscoe White on Facebook, Instagram, and LinkedIn, as well as Roscoe's website, www.paulroscoewhite.com.
You can email us from the website, and please leave comments, share, and ask questions, or leave ideas of things you would like to discuss on future podcasts. Most importantly, be the one that helps us win the algorithm by leaving a review on whatever platform you're listening on.
Thanks for joining. Until next time, be the one.